Now, let's remind ourselves for a moment of the nature of cosmotheism. It's truth, it's understanding which is arrived at in a particular way. And that way is through the synthesis of subjective and objective knowledge. Or to use the same words that are used in our pamphlet here, it's the perfect union of the Creator's immanent consciousness in man with man's reason. Our truth comes to us through a blending of the universal consciousness in our race soul, in our genes, with our reason. Thus, our way of arriving at truth is fundamentally different from the way of most major religions, which depend in a very basic way on revelation, whether through oracles or prophets or what have you. It's also different from the purely mystical or purely subjective religions of the East, which are a fad among so many lost souls in the West today. Just as it is different from the pure rationalism, which used to be the undisputed philosophy of science until recently. We're not subject to the sort of problem that the revealed religions are, that they have, rather, in which the prophets may contradict one another, or some fine morning someone may claim he had a vision, or that an angel showed him a book written on leaves of gold, or that Jehovah appeared as a burning bush and handed him a couple of stone tablets and inscribed with a new set of laws. And no cosmotheist can get away with babbling whatever nonsense comes into his head like the Maharaji and the other yogas can, because our truth is absolute. It must agree with our observations of the universe. And because our truth also comes from the soul, it's something toward which everyone who shares the same race soul, the same genes, naturally gravitates. This, as I've pointed out before, is why one can find a cosmotheist thread running through the entire length of Western spiritual history, including those periods when fundamentally opposing ideas ruled.